Hello and welcome to So Divine. I'm Megan Skinner.
And I'm Stephanie Galling.
And this is our monthly astrology and tarot podcast where we take a look at the celestial landscape, what's happening in the stars. We pick a tarot card to fit the vibe, all with an eye towards inspiration and helping you to lead a more conscious life. So hello, Stephanie.
Hey, Megan, how are you?
I'm good. Happy April. April. My goodness, we're really doing this spring thing, I guess, right?
Yes, we are. And we're springing into a very interesting April.
Yes, a very interesting April. So let's start by noting that we are still in eclipse season. We had that lunar eclipse in Libra on March 25th. And then, of course, we're going to have the solar eclipse in Aries on the 8th. So, you know, as we always talk about, the eclipse seasons can be rather intense. We do feel the energies a bit before and after. Now, this eclipse season is in that polarity of Libra Aries. So maybe we just start talking a little bit about that, because the Libra Aries polarity to me is very much about relationships and relationship dynamics and power in relationships. And of course, Libra is also the sign of truth and fairness. Now, this month, we're going to bring in more of that Aries contingency. But, you know, any thoughts just generally on this eclipse?
Yeah, right. So we're on the heels of that March 25th eclipse, right, that had the moon, that full moon eclipse that had the moon in Libra. And as we talked about last month, and as we're speaking about now, right, that give and take, that trying to find balance between I and you, or I and you and we, you know, how to actually still maintain a sense of, you know, individuation and that sense of like what, you know, really sort of burns me or turns me on, but also in consideration of the sense of we, you know, of the relationship. And also, you know, I noticed that a lot of, and we're speaking about this, right, too, just because even though it was on the 25th of March, like it still sort of continues in terms of its ripples, you know, this notion too of balance. And maybe the balance is in terms of like what we're putting out and what we're receiving, and maybe finding ourselves, you know, feeling a sense of lack of equilibrium for that and wanting to like recalibrate the scales in terms of like inflow and outflow. So just in terms of like on the heels of that, before we get to the April 8th eclipse, what about you? Like, what do you feel?
Well, you know, Libra to me, you know, really emphasizes, of course, always relationships and, as you're saying, balance. And, you know, it's interesting because I have been finding, or I did find myself really looking a lot around my boundaries in relationships. Was I giving too much? What was I, like you're saying, what was I getting in return? And just that exercise of looking at those balances and really looking at my boundaries. Like normally I think I kind of overstep those and like give maybe a little too much. Was that opportunity to kind of like pull back a little bit and let it come forward to me? And so that was a nice kind of realization with that eclipse.
I love that. I love that. Yeah. That sense of, right, like that balancing even with that.
Yeah.
So then, you know, and I think the whole thing too, in terms of the entire eclipse season, a word came to me today that I realized that I don't usually use, you know, use eclipse and obscured and occulted and all of these words, but is fuzzy. You know, it's just like,
ooh, that's a total eclipse word.
Yeah, this time of when we have the eclipse is like things are not clear. Things are just cloudy or fuzzy. And as we're going to speak about in a moment, adding in Mercury retrograde and other things, it definitely feels like during this time that's, you know, of this eclipse season, not to push for a premature conclusion, because at least from the eclipse end, things are still obscured.
Right.
And so just being with the hints, right? Being with the nuances, but not necessarily pushing ourselves to take all that input and like forge something that is definitive, because A, it feels like not all of the inputs are there, And B, it's just not yet clear, like both in terms of what is presenting itself to us and also truly how we feel about that.
Yeah.
So I think
yeah.
just as like a general eclipse gestalt.
Yeah. And, you know, I think, you know, that's, and for this coming eclipse, especially in Aries, that may be a bit of a tall order, you know, because we've got that Aries that's just like, go, divide and conquer, warrior, I'm on the move, right? And we'll talk about Chiron coming into this in just a second. But when you're talking about, you know, slow down and watch the nuances, I don't think nuance is in the Aries vocabulary. So this might be a little bit tricky.
I think it's going to be a lot tricky. I've been talking to a lot of clients about like the need to, you know, one way to navigate through this is like, honoring space and honoring pace. You know, and even if space is before I respond, I'm going to take one breath, you know, let alone three or 10, just making some space to be present, to be more in witness, you know. So I think that that's really important because to your point, Aries is like, let's go. Why are we waiting? Come on, come on. And it's not to tamp down our connection to our instinctiveness. It's not to tamp down something that may fuel us into action because it's something that we want to champion in for or we want to fight against. It's not to like have borders around that connection to our instincts. It's just, I think we need to move with space and pace if we have that luxury. I mean, sometimes obviously, like if you're in a situation, like you just have to get out of there immediately for your own survival. But, you know, if things are not really related to survival per se, space and, you know, space and pace.
I love that space and pace. I think that works really well. And also just to throw in, maybe it's just a great time to like be mindful about how this is going to affect the other because, you know, it's opposite all that Libra energy. And so maybe it's like, you know, maybe I want this, but I don't know whether you want this or I don't know whether this is really going to be for the greater good. And just maybe bring in a little bit in that one breath or two, that perspective of other. Also, we have an aspect here on this eclipse because Chiron is also in Aries and it's going to be right there. And Chiron, you know, represents the old stories, the wounding, it's the wounded healer. It has so much to do with healing and kind of evolving those old wounds or stories. So talk to us a little bit about Chiron in the mix here.
Yeah, so that April 8th solar eclipse, right, new moon eclipse, sun and moon in Aries with Chiron right there. Also, I think that it's interesting, like if anybody's sort of in the, obviously all people, all of our listeners around the world, and also thinking about North America, you know, that there's a swath of the middle of the country where like people will be able to see that eclipse.
Yes, right,
you know,
right.
It's not going to be like full on view and total here in Seattle. But just for all of our listeners who are there and see it, also like send us notes, tell us how it was, what your experience was. Okay, so first, like solar eclipse, new moon eclipse, and we talk about this often, like when there's a new moon solar eclipse, it is the ushering in of a new chapter, right?
Yeah,
Seeds are being planted, but oftentimes you do notice that things also release or are ending to make space in the field so that those seeds that are being planted can fully germinate. So don't be surprised if like things feel like they're releasing or you feel the need to, the desire to clear things out, and whether that's literal things or ways of orienting or, you know, habits or what have you. It's a really good time for like the ushering out so that there is the ushering in. So sun and moon and Chiron in Aries, I mean, it feels like it, you know, I feel like one of the key words here, or maybe it's two words, is be tender. Like be tender, be
kind.
I
love that. Be tender. I think we should have an Elvis song going on right now in the background. Oh, I love that so much, Stephanie.
Right?
Be tender.
We could feel very, vulnerable, and we could feel like our, you know, our wounds are like heating up, right? They can feel inflamed, all those like Aries words. You know, we really may notice those like sorrows or senses of inadequacy or past hurts, those little things that like we can't really go back in the past and do something about. So it's be tender, make space, be with that, honor that, and also see how your own experiences, because they're human experiences, have opened up a space of compassion within you, empathy within you, so that you can be that Aries warrior of healing, so that you can stand with others who may have had similar experiences, and through your own pain, through your own sorrow, you have the capacity to, again, hold space, be with, resonate with others, and help them to unveil the next stage in their own healing journey.
You know, as you're saying that, I just feel like that just feels like the world today. We should all, you know, not just during this eclipse season, but to always hold that space of compassion and tenderness. And also with Chiron there, and you're talking about this, I don't know if you said self-love, but that's what I was hearing about, you know, really bring in that self-love. Because a lot of times with Aries and Chiron, there can be like self-esteem issues, self-worth issues, you know, am I good enough, right? So if we apply that non-judgmental self-love, it could be really extraordinary in regards to clearing away in that fuzzy eclipse world some of those past hurts and learning to love yourself in a whole new way.
Yeah, I agree. And love yourself and love others. Mm-hmm. You know, like it may also be too in terms of like being very, very sensitive to those who are wounded.
Yeah.
You know, wounded in any which way, you know, wounded because of their own past history or the events that are happening around in the world around us. Right. And just feeling that sense of just like standing with, and I think because of that Aries energy, like wanting to like, you know, not to sort of like, you know, avoid things, but like, you know, Aries is war and Aries is violence and Aries is hurt and Aries is battles. And, you know, we may also feel that too. Like, what is it that we want to go the next level on to go to battle for the wounded, whether it's the wounded collectively or ourselves or our family members or friends, like how do we, and I definitely feel like there's going to be that really strong sense of inner charge of like, you know, what can I do? What can I do? And again, not just limited to the eighth, but like, you know, it comes around the eighth and it's, you know, eclipse is very diffuse. So, you know, I think to pay attention to that, like, what is it that just really like galvanizes you and like sets you, you know, aflame, and but not literally aflame, you know, in terms of like, you know, your passions and like what you feel is like right or wrong to like to, you know, jump into action for.
Yeah, I remember learning in therapy at one point that anger can be healthy. Anger creates boundaries. Yep. Anger is forward movement. So I think a lot of times when we think about anger, we put it in that, you know, negative category. And we're not talking about rage here. We're talking about healthy anger and how it does galvanize us to do something and make change. And as we're talking about this, you're going to have plenty of time to work on this because we have a Mercury retrograde in Aries all month too. And of course, in the retrograde, there's always a slowing down and a stepping back. You know how it goes, reevaluating, reviewing, reorienting. Now, again, these are not Aryan concepts, right? Aries is like, what the heck? I'm going for it anyway. So I think this might just resonate for all of us throughout the month.
Yeah, great point, right? Again, it's, you know, just to be in witness of that. And the dates are Mercury goes retrograde on the 1st. So in, like, you know, is it April Fool's? Is
Hello?
It Mercury retrograde? on April 1st, and it leaves its retrograde on the 25th. So it's, you know, 3+ weeks of that. And, you know, as we always like to say, as the planet seems to be turning around, and retracing its steps, so should we. Going back over things, reevaluating, reassessing, rewriting, recommunicating, looking at our communication from a different vantage point. It's all about an alternative vantage point, not pushing forward. And yet, like, what do you do with a time period of a solar eclipse in Aries with Chiron there and a Mercury retrograde in Aries? Is how do you find space and pace? Like, there is a sense of movement, and maybe the movement is, you know, I'm going to go back to something in the past. Okay, there's movement. I do think that there's important for all of us to literally be moving our bodies, like feeling like we're in movement and not standing still.
Yeah.
Because if not, it might feel really frustrating that it's like Aries, but it's like fuzzy and it's like not forward movement, you know, like, So, you know, go back over things, review, reassess, reframe.
Yeah. I was thinking about the Mercury retrograde in Aries for this month. And one of the things that came to me, you know, with Aries, it's so Mars, right? It's ruling planet. It's also the concept of power. And maybe during this time, especially during the retrograde, is to really look at, how do I wield my power in the world? What do I, you know, to take that step back, right? What do I do with my power? You know, is it for me or for the greater good? And because power can be an amazing thing. It's like what you do with it. So that might be something also to just like ruminate on a bit with the retrograde.
Yeah. I like that. I like that. Well, you know, with the retrograde, with the eclipse. And as you were saying that, I was thinking about the word like effectuate. Right?
Ooh,
like,
what does that mean, Stephanie?
Like, how do I create effect? Like, how do I make things happen?
Oh, okay.
Right?
You
know, that sense of like impulse that's very like activation, that's very Aries, but we could feel frustrated. Like, so it's like looking at our patterns or stories we have around, you know, our own sense of like, you know, am I non-effectual? Do I not know how to make things happen? Do I not know how to like produce or create or like let things spark? And maybe finding a new relationship either with that way of being or the story we have around that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's really great. We learned a new word today, people, listeners. Stephanie, you're such a great wordsmith. That's one of the things I really love about you. Okay, let's shift gears for a minute because there's something that I really have my eye on because I think it's going to be very interesting, is the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction in Taurus. Say that again, Jupiter-Uranus conjunction in Taurus. That just feels very, very dynamic, right? So I'm like, what's that going to be like?
Well, I think that's the big question. It's Uranus. So you like don't know. I like saying about Uranus is like the thing you didn't expect on your bingo card. You know, it's like
right.
And you know that it happens on the 20th, as you said. You know, the Jupiter Uranus conjunction is not something that like happens every week. It actually happens every 13 years or so. And, you know, I feel like as the month is opening, we definitely are feeling it already. Mm-hmm. So Jupiter, you know, Jupiter is large. Jupiter is expanded. Jupiter makes things bigger. Jupiter, like, makes things bolder. It's opportunity. And Uranus, as we like to say, is the stay bouncy planet. You know, Uranus is about change and innovate and didn't see it coming, the unexpected. So, you know, it definitely feels like, you know, if this month is one where there may be surprises, what we can do is we can proactively be the surprise agent or be the change agent. Like, instead of just like waiting for like, okay, what's going to happen? Okay, well, what do I want to make happen? What furniture do I want to move around literally or, you know, figuratively? Like, how do I want to like recreate a pattern and surprise myself? You know, and the surprise could also be like, I do this. I usually don't do this. Oh, wait, look what happens when I do that. So, you know, that's my
And also I want to talk a little bit about what this all could mean in Taurus as well. But as you're talking about it, I'm like, okay, well, here we go again. You know, we have this energy that is pretty darn forward moving, very dynamic with Jupiter and Uranus together. And we're saying, slow down, you know what I mean? Stay in your lane. So we've got to, you know, maybe a little bit, Stephanie, we can talk about how to fold this in. And also in Taurus. So when I think about Taurus, I think about the earth. I think about our daily routine and rituals, our relationship to our five senses. So let's talk a little bit about maybe how we can fold this in.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's interesting because even though this happens every 13 years, the last time this happened in Taurus was in May 1941, which is interesting thinking about Taurus is like that's when Cheerios was invented, which I thought was very like, you know, like Taurus is about the earth and nourishment and grains. And I mean, other things happened and we were obviously in the like the midst of World War II. But so Jupiter and Uranus in Taurus, I think personally, it is, you know, how do I change up my routines? You know, how do I do something different to honor and delight my senses different than my go-tos? You know, if my like pleasure of choice is, I don't know, fill in the blank. I mean, I like oftentimes with clients, we'll talk in like ice cream metaphors. You know, I don't know why. My Taurus moon. You know, if it's like I'm a strawberry ice cream girl, like try chocolate or try mint chocolate chip. Like try something different to see all the different ways that you might be able to delight your senses.
I love that you're bringing in the word pleasure too, right? And maybe we'll talk a little bit more about that when we get to the full moon at the end of the month, right? But I love that idea with Taurus about, you know, how do that the beauty of pleasure and how important pleasure is for us.
Yeah, for sure. But I think that it's really, I mean, an eclipse season with a Jupiter-Uranus thrown in, I mean, it is a little bit, like, edgy. I mean, just it's definitely, so I think instead of, you know, if the invitation or the gestalt is about expecting the unexpected, you know, or the shaking things up, again, I think, you know, to own that power and for practical purposes, which is very Taurus, how can we practically change, shake things up? How can we do something different? How can we do something, invite ourselves to do something that's outside of a prescribed comfort zone so that we then say, oh, I went outside of that line. I went outside of that comfort zone. Hey, wait, I'm okay. And I feel like I have an expanded capacity and, ooh, that was fun or pleasurable or productive or creative. Right, so I think like the whole month, it's like knowing that there is another way, you know, and even if we get stressed because of other things, like instead of like, I'm stressed, X, okay, that always goes to Y. Maybe we can soothe ourselves differently. Maybe we can like open ourselves that like, oh, I don't actually have to respond this way, or X doesn't always lead to Y. So I think it's widening the frame of possibilities. And maybe that's the surprise that we get from that Jupiter-Uranus.
Yeah, you know, like Jupiter is possibility, right? It's opportunity and possibility. I like that you're also bringing up the idea of going outside our comfort zones, which feels so Taurus, right? So I just think maybe the way to hold this is that this month is just filled with opportunities and potentials to do things a little bit differently and to like evolve.
Yeah, absolutely. And just to note that this one is at, for those people who work with their chart, it's a 21 Taurus.
21.
So you can see like, you know, at least like what house that might be happening in your chart to see like where is that invitation to experiment and try new things on and recreate. And I know I've been, you probably have been too, like working with a lot of my clients on that and giving like even more specific suggestions on like how to ride with this wave and, you know, create
the
a
wave,
breakthrough
baby.
In your life.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, well, let's wrap things up. I'm definitely looking exhausted already. We can't wrap up until we've done the full moon in Scorpio, which will be on April 23rd. Oh, man, you got to love a full moon in Scorpio because that's when everything just is so heightened and intense. But as you always like to bring up, Stephanie, as a girl with her moon in Taurus, is this also kind of brings up that sexy, pleasure, relational, let's get close kind of vibe, right? I was trying to think of a PC word, right?
I like it. Let's get close.
A little sexual healing, right? Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Now, who was that? For Marvin Gaye. It was like Elvis, and then we could have like a whole soundtrack here. I mean, it can be very steamy and sultry and sensual like that full moon in Scorpio, you know, and it's also about, you know, the Taurus sun, the practicality, the earth, Scorpio, emotional, hidden, you know, so I think that it's also like, you know, I think it's a good day to do like ritual, which is very Taurus, that have to do with like transformation for like, you know, changing shape, you know, making also containers and vessels, whether it's like literal vessels or the vessel that, you know, is within yourself, to give space to like your deep feelings and deep desires and deep passions. You know, the full moon in Scorpio can be intense because Scorpio's intense,
right?
So, you know, Taurus and Scorpio also have to do with money.
Yeah,
right? So it could be also like that might sort of arise or come up for people, and whether it's opportunities or, you know, sort of triggers or, you know, healing on that level. So those always feel like themes.
I have a very good friend, and she's also an astrologer. And whenever I bring up the Scorpio full moon, she just says, I don't leave home on that day. And I think that could be some wisdom in that, and just really celebrating with pulling the energies in a way that is empowering and insightful, but not, you know, not being out in the world like a crazy lunatic. That's where the word lunatic comes from, is from the full moon.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely intense, whether that's like just like you're staying in your own space of your feelings, or you're just like, you know, opening up to see like how you get stirred with whatever it is that you're going to be, you know.
And there's
doing.
a lot of different ways to get stirred, right?
Exactly.
Exactly.
I thought you were going to say something else when she said, I just stay home. And I was thinking about like, oh, with my vibrators. And
well, she
very
might.
Full moon in Scorpio.
That would not surprise me at all. All right, Stephanie.
Okay, deep breath.
Is it time?
It's a breath.
Okay, it's time for the tarot card for the month. I'm already shuffling, and Stephanie is going to tap in, and she's going to tell me when to stop shuffling, and I will pick the top card.
Now, I took three breaths. I'm following my advice.
Very good.
Aries.
Very, very good. All right, I feel like we need a drum roll. Oh my gosh. Okay, so the card that we got this month is the Ten of Swords. Now, this is a notoriously negative card.
Oh, and, God. Please.
Okay, let's be frank. Well, you know, I'm just going to say it. In most decks, it's the image of a man, and he's face down with 10 swords in his deck and in his back, right? And so it's a death card. It's the death card of the Minor Arcana. And I'm going to speak to that in just a minute, but I do want to note, I do this YouTube video, a monthly reading every month, and both tarot cards of the deck, both death cards of the deck came up. And so there was a feeling there. This is interesting because we're back with the tarot of like, you know, intense death and rebirth, big, big change. And so when we're in the realm of swords, we're in the realm of the mind and the intellect. And I see this as like a mental death. Like, you know, all those swords are imploding because you're holding on to too much thought or analysis or figuring stuff out. And this is just like, stop, right? And so with this card, and, you know, in my deck, I did a little Stairway to Heaven trying to lighten things up a little bit. But the idea is that if you can work with this energy and surrender to something, which is so Scorpio, to something greater than yourself, then we have that rebirth. And yeah, there's some things that might be going away because there is a betrayal. There can be a betrayal aspect to the Ten of Swords. And so what does that mean? It just, again, expect the unexpected, maybe some things you weren't planning on, but at the end of the day, to hold it as this transformation. And you were talking about transformation. Hold it as a transformation and evolution. Let go and climb the staircase to, you know, to that more evolved thinking. So it's kind of, to me, a mental death in a way.
Do you feel like one way that it could sort of match with that solar eclipse with Chiron, and I'm very like attuned to that word betrayal, is also seeing like, I mean, our own sort of patterns of where we betray ourselves, and maybe that has led to our wounds or is our wound, and that we see that. And again, with the solar eclipse where we release something, so a new cycle begins.
Yes,
could it be something like that? Like our sort of mental orientation and our story and the wounds, and also seeing like, actually, did that really happen? Do I have a weakness because of that? And sort of, or is that just a story that I create that like keeps me limited and that betrays also the sense of like power and joy that I could have in life?
Absolutely. I think that is just really spot on. And that's why I'm like, let's embrace this. You know what I mean? This look at the opportunity here. So it's not always a total eclipse of the heart. I've been wanting to say that for like weeks now, so I got in there. So
change. Add that to the soundtrack.
Oh my gosh. Nick, we're going to have to put together a soundtrack for April. Okay. But anyway, so to embrace this change, surrender, go with it, evolve it. I think it's going to be an interesting month.
Yeah, that's an understatement.
Yes.
So speaking about the month, what do you got going on?
Well, as I mentioned before, I'm really excited about my YouTube channel at Megan Skinner Astrology and Tarot, or Tarot and Astrology. And, you know, I'm just bringing in more of a Tarot aspect. And, you know, me, Leo rising, I love me a video. So I'm excited about that. I'm working, I'm seeing clients, and with everything going on, you know, do not hesitate to check in with me or Stephanie, because hopefully we can bring some clarity to that fuzziness.
Yes, I love that.
And what about you, Steph?
Similar, well, not a YouTube, not the YouTube, not doing videos just yet, but working with a lot of clients, and I still have some openings for April to help people navigate all of these different invitations in this like between time. So focusing on that. And then I'm also working on developing some courses. So I don't have any more information than that.
But just you're not going to give us a hint? A hint on those courses? No.
No, it's eclipse. I'm going to keep it eclipsed until it's ready to release.
Okay.
And it's not a fuzzy time anymore.
Okay. All right.
Well, but I should actually say that I will be in the East Coast in April, in the Northern New Jersey, New York City area. And so if you also live in that area and want to do an in-person session, send me a note because that could be a possibility.
Oh, how fun. Seeing Stephanie in New York. That just sounds so exciting. And, you know, we always love hearing from you. Don't hesitate to reach out. Show us those eclipse pictures at sodivine.us. I'm Megan at meganskinner.com. Stephanie's at stephaniegaling.com. So thank you, everybody, and have an awesome April.
Yes, big thank you to everyone. Big thank you to you, Megan, and to our producers, Nick Patry and Sebastiano Tecchio, who every month we give a shout out for, but it never gets diluted because we are so happy for you to like do this project with us. Like, we have so much gratitude to both of us. We both of us have
you.
So much gratitude to you. It's ready. The Mercury retrograde is spinning up my mind. So big thanks, and let's hear it for April and all the change and the good change that can come about.